we consider a portion of the word. You know, there's something that I believe the Lord wants His people to get to be very clear on. I believe there's something that He wants us to get a hold of. And the enemy has always worked very strongly to try to keep God's people from getting a hold of it. Remember, most of us in here probably remember the earlier days of the radio. I can remember so many times trying to bring in a radio station and there'd be a lot of static. You couldn't hardly hear what was being said. It was kind of nice when they brought digital tuning into it. Now you can put it on a station and it comes in real good and clear. There's no static. I was thinking about that. The devil loves to put confusion in everything he can put confusion into. This afternoon I have a simple little message, but it's something that's been on my heart. The Lord's really inspired this on my heart. I titled this little thought this afternoon, The Whole Loaf. The Whole Loaf. I'm firmly convinced, and I know you are too, that God wants us to trust Him. If I can say it in my little way, He's gone out of His way so many times to prove Himself to mankind. To prove Himself to you and I. He's gone out of His way. He's moved the mountains. He's provided the things that we never thought we could ever get a hold of or ever see. He's always been there. He's got a wonderful track record, doesn't He? A wonderful track record. And yet, because of us, our human nature, maybe sometime human reasoning, human understanding gets involved in things that it seems like that it kind of lessens the picture of what God can really do for you and I. And folks, there's no limit to what God can do for you and I. And it's came to the point. I've been thinking about this a lot. We got a sister that was anointed and prayed for recently for neck and back issues. Brother in our congregation here's got an affliction on his body that causes high blood pressure, something specific that may cause those kind of things. Do you know we live in a world today where people just treat the symptoms? They don't really treat the root of the problem. We're so superficial. There's no depth to society, to people today. And I believe God wants us, He told the disciples, launch out into the deep. He wants us to launch out into the deep. When it comes to trusting, I don't believe that God wants you and I, when we have a need, whether it's physically, spiritually, temporally, whatever it is, I believe when we have a need, God wants us to put in for the whole loaf. Not just treat the symptoms. God wants to go right down to the root of the problem, the root of the issue, whatever it might be, and He wants to heal. He wants to deliver. He wants you and I to be more than conquerors through Him that loves us. Don't you see it that way? Don't you see that God wants His people to be a well people? He doesn't want you and I going around being sickly and down and stuff all the time. What kind of an example? What kind of a light is that to the world? But He wants you and I to be whole. He wants you and I to be healthy. Spiritually, physically, temporally. in the way that we handle our affairs in life. He wants you and I to trust Him fully, completely. Saints, let's don't be satisfied with half a loaf. Let's ask the Lord for the whole loaf. We want everything that God has for us. I've been in some places in my life. Now, I'm not just talking from rhetoric, from Scripture. I've experienced some things. I've experienced some afflictions. I've been to the place where I knew if God didn't move that I was going to die, and I was going to die soon. Been there. Understand what that's like. I remember back when I was 38 years old, crawling around on the floor at home because my back was so bad I couldn't stand up and couldn't walk. And I had a job that I couldn't go to for 12 weeks. The devil telling me you'll never work again. How's your wife and your children going to be provided for? I remember those times. I remember having to go into the company doctor in order to keep my job going there. And they got to their wits' end, and they said, well, all I know to do is to send you to a neurosurgeon. I said, there's no point sending me to a neurosurgeon because I'm not going to let anybody operate on me. I'm trusting God for this. I'm just here because the company says that I got to be here. But I'm trusting God for this. Do you know that the Lord brought me through a place? He brought me through pain. He brought me through suffering. He brought me through darkness. He brought me down from a low place where it didn't look like things were going to ever be any better. But He brought me out of that place, and I still remember walking in that doctor's little office there at where I worked. That's where I went to went to visit the company doctor right there on the job. And I walked in there, and I walked in there feeling just like I do today. And they looked at me and they said something. I said, God has healed me. And they said, I see that. Because I knew I hadn't taken anything. I hadn't done anything. A few little back exercises maybe. But I hadn't done anything. And I said, God had a testimony for you. God healed me. Folks, I haven't been down like that since. That was 30 years ago. And I haven't been down like that since. You know that it was a woman doctor. Her and I prayed together before I left there. We had prayer together. And I was thanking God and praising God right there in the office. We had prayer together. Said, God did this. Folks, there's things that God want to do, but I think our faith, our trust, our humanity, something stands in the way, and He's not able to do what He really wants to do. But God has a people, and He wants His people to be a strong people. He wants His people to have power. He wants His people to manifest His glory and His grace to a lost and a dying world. I'm not saying that doesn't mean we're never going to get sick. Sure we are. It doesn't mean we're never going to go through hard and difficult trials. Sure we are. But I believe that God wants you and I in going through those places to trust Him to the place that He's not going to just take care of the symptoms, but He's going to take care of the root of what is going on here. Because He sees it all. He sees it all. And I'm thanking for it. Do you know there's been people got in trouble because they didn't trust God? In the Bible, you find people that got in trouble because they didn't trust Him. Whenever He said He was going to do something, Sarah laughed, didn't she? Because He said she was going to have a child at 90 years old. Saints, if God says that He wants you to do something or He has something for you to do, if God says this in His Word, if He tells you in your heart and you know it's from God, stand on it. Because He isn't playing games with us. He says what He means, and He means what He says. And He's well able to do it. Remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? Whenever Jonathan realized that the Philistines were up there, up on the side of a cliff up there somewhere, on a hill, I mean, and he told the armor bearer, he said, let us go up. He said, it may be that God will deliver the Philistines in our hands. Let us go up. I don't know yet. We haven't fought. We haven't been in the battle yet. But let us go up because He said God is not limited in what He can do. He can save by many or He can save by few. And they went up there, the two of them, in about a half an acre of land and fought several of the Philistines up there. And he whipped them. He whipped them because he knew that God could deliver and God could do what he said he wanted to do with his people. I believe God still wants to do it today. In 2016, God still wants to do it. As Shakespeare said, the fault lieth within us. It's not God. Lord, help us and increase and inspire our faith today. Don't settle for a partial loaf. Tell the Lord you want the whole loaf. You want it all. You want complete victory. Complete deliverance. You know, when we get just a half of something, the devil can use that sometimes and get us under his thumb. And we go around so discouraged and disappointed because what we thought was going to happen never happened. And it's really our fault that it didn't happen. You understand what I mean, I hope. Look at Moses. Trusting God. Now this to me is very serious. Moses at the rock. When he went there that second time and he said, "Must I draw water out of this rock for you?" Sure, he was put out with the people. Sure, they had pressed upon him and he'd lost his patience with them. And he was disappointed in them and all those kind of things. But folks, it come down to a matter that Moses wasn't trusting God to bring forth the water out of the rock. "Must I draw forth water," is what he said. Lord, help us today, folks. We've got to trust God and we've got to give Him the glory and Him the credit for everything that He does. And I take credit for nothing. Not take credit for anything. It cost Him. Because He said, "Must I?" He got to see it, but he couldn't go to the promised land. Why? Because he left God out of the picture, really. And he had the people looking at him. Folks, we need to trust God. Faith is something that you don't see with your eyes. You don't have to have eyes to see faith, Lord. You just need spiritual eyes. You need great faith. You need to trust. As I said, He's proven Himself time and time again. He created it all. He gives you and I every day life and breath, and we fail to trust Him. Or say, limit Him and say, "Lord, I know You can do this, but this is what I really need." He can do that too. He can do that too. I believe this afternoon. I believe what I'm saying. And I've endeavored to prove it in my life. I've been places where people say you need to go to the doctor, you need to go to the hospital, you need to do this, you need to do that. I didn't do any of that. But I trusted God. And folks, it was well worth it. Remember, I don't know, maybe some of you never even heard the story. When I got poisoned from my fireplace, my chemical poisoning, from my gas fireplace at home. And it attacked my body and I got my skin changed. I had skin up in my chest area that felt like it was more like leather than it was skin. Wasn't like skin. It didn't even have the texture of skin. My feet and my legs, the skin peeled off of them about 7 or 8 times. Grow new skin, peel off again. Burnt. My body was burnt by this poison coming out of that fireplace. And I remember one day, on January the 1st, I told my wife, I'm going to go on a diet and I'm going to lose some weight. Sure enough, 13 days later, I weighed 13 pounds more than I did when I started. Said, "Something's wrong." I found out what was wrong, folks. After a while, I could feel the sloshing going on in my chest. And my body was filling up with fluid. Literally filling up with fluid. My skin was sagging from the weight of it. I stood in front of my wife one night and I said, "Look at me." I had redness, rash all over me. Ate up with rash. Spent most of my nights in the bathtub. in hot as water as I could stand it to try to keep the itching down. I remember digging in my arm one time. I wanted to dig right down to the bone and pull it all out of there. It itched so bad. But I stood there and I said, look at me. My skin sagging. I said, I'm taking on fluid. And I know one thing, if it doesn't stop, I'm going to die. Because it'll eventually get up to my lungs and it'll take me out of here. And I remember a night laying on that bed and my body went into convulsions. I was jerking and jumping on the bed. My wife laying there beside me. And after I settled down, I remember raising both hands and said, Lord, out loud. I said, I don't know whether I'm going to live or die, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you, Lord. You've proven your love to me. And if you want me to die with this, I'm going to prove that I love you and prove that I'm going to trust you all the way. I'm not turning to man and I'm not giving in to any of the pressure of my children and those kind of things. I'm going to trust you, live or die. From that night on, God began to bring the healing. He began to bring the deliverance. It took several months, but He healed me. He healed me of that affliction. Folks, I know what it means to be in places of distress. I know what it means to not know if you're going to come out of it dead or alive. I know what it means to have pressures put upon you. I understand those things. But God wants us to stand there and get the whole loaf. He wants us to get it all that He has for us. There's things in suffering that you will never get to your spiritual soul any other way but through suffering. You won't get it any other way. God's got a purpose for these things. He don't play with us like a kitty cat plays with a ball of twine. He has a purpose for what He allows to come our way. He has a reason for it. And it's for our spiritual good. And if we'll be willing to stay in the battle until God says it's enough. Folks, when God says it's enough, the devil has to take his hand off of it. He has to. But He wants us to stay there. People pray sometimes and they're in such a big hurry. Oh Lord, this is more than I can bear. Please heal me. Please deliver me. And the Lord says, I've got some things that I want you to learn. I've got some things that I want you to understand. I want to teach you how to draw closer to me. I want to teach you how to trust me. I want you to teach you to have faith in God. That's what He wants us to do. Let's look at a scripture that inspired this in my heart this afternoon. It's 17th chapter of Matthew. It's nothing new. Matthew 17 and 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to Him a certain man, kneeling down to Him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Here's a young man that had problems, didn't he? He had issues. And the first thing we want to do, people want to do today, we'll take him to the doctor and load him up with medicine. Kind of put him in a comatose state where he can't even really think properly. In order to try to settle him down, calm him down. That's the way people treat these things today. But I want you to see how Jesus treated it. He said, I brought him to your disciples and they could not cure him. I'll deal with that in a little bit. Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. He said, he falleth into the fire and into the waters often. Jesus didn't say, well, I can't do anything about this one. This is bigger than I am. I can't handle it. He didn't say that. He said, bring him to me. Saints, take it to the Lord. I don't care what it is. Take it to the Lord. Leave it with Him. Put it on the altar and leave it with Him. Jesus said, bring him to me. And Jesus rebuked, what was it? It was the devil, wasn't it? It was the devil had got in and possessed this young man. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know the circumstances, but it said Jesus rebuked the devil. Can you rebuke the devil? Are you living close enough to God that you can rebuke the devil? You know, you don't just casually go around rebuking the devil, folks. You've got to have something on hand to rebuke him with. And you and I don't have the power to do it. We need a power greater than us, don't we? We need Jesus to help us to rebuke the devil. He departed out of him and the child was cured from that very hour. Wasn't too great for him, was it? Wasn't over his head. Wasn't something he didn't understand. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? You know, today, I don't even see people doing this. At least the disciples were concerned enough of why they didn't have the power to do this. At least they came and questioned, why couldn't we do it? Saints, if you can't do it, there's a reason why. And we need to question the Lord and find out what it is. Because God wants His children to have the victory. He does. Scripture tells us He wants you and I to have the victory. He wants you and I to be overcomers. He wants you and I to conquer. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. How many of us believe that? Are those just words? Is Jesus just filling their minds with words? Or is He giving them some wonderful instructions? Is He telling them what the secret is to the success of having power, victory over the enemy? Over afflictions. Over whatever it is that we're having to deal with. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible. That's a pretty positive statement, isn't it? Nothing shall be impossible. Folks, we have God living within us. We have His Spirit dwelling in our hearts. And He has promised to take care of us. The sister said before prayer that He promised that He'd be with us even until the end. Folks, He'll be with you, but don't settle for a half a loaf. We want the whole loaf. Some of us here know Brother Gerald Flynn down in Louisiana, La Ronja, Louisiana. I saw it with my own eyes. He has a bald head. And he got a cancer growing right up in the middle of his head. It got probably about an inch and a half high. Cancer. How do you know it's cancer? It smells. Cancer smells, folks. Cancer stinks. When the skin is corrupted like that, and that stuff pours out, it smells. It was cancer. I got pictures of it somewhere at home. He said, him and his wife were so impressed with this scripture. He said, speak unto this mountain. And they began to speak to that mountain. They began to speak to that cancer. But folks, we are so easy to just sit back and say, well, Lord, I got cancer. I guess I'm going to die. You think God doesn't have power over cancer? I know He does. I saw it. But we sit back sometimes and we're so easy to give in to doubts. Give in to fears. Because we don't want to fight. Because we don't have the faith. Because we're not trusting like we ought to trust. Folks, we're the greatest people on earth. You know that because we're God's people. We're His children. We're His children. How many fathers have their little children come up to them saying, "Daddy, I need this," or "Daddy, I want that," and Daddy's so ready to give them whatever it is they want. You think your daddy isn't ready to give you yours? Yes, he is. Yes, he is, folks. Oh, they prayed and the saints prayed with them and they spoke to this thing. You know, he was taking a shower one morning. He was ever so careful about bumping that thing up there. But he was taking a shower one morning and he forgot about it or something. And he hit it with a towel and off it came. It fell right off his head. Oh, it bled. It bled and bled and bled. But he knocked it off his head. The time was right. The Lord did that. Do you know, saints? He can show you. He's still alive. He can show you that place where it was. There's a little X, from what I remember when I saw it, a little X like scar on top of his head. And that's all it's there. Just as flat as the rest of his head. Gone! God did that. Speak to the mountain. But oh, we're willing to accept half instead of asking for the whole of. Oh, he could have said, "Well, honey, you know, we need to make plans. I need to do this. I need to do that. You're going to be a widow soon. I'm going to die. I got cancer here." It was a big, pretty good sized cancer, but the Lord healed it. That's just been 6-7 years ago. Maybe a little longer. I lose track of time easy. God's still able, folks. He is still able. I don't know what His will is in every circumstance. But I know one thing. His will is for you and I to trust God. His will is for you and I to have faith. And He tells you and I, He said, if you have a faith to believe, nothing shall be impossible unto you. Nothing. Because He's God. Because He's not limited. Only our faith limits God. Lord, help us to be inspired this afternoon. Help us to be encouraged. We don't have to go sit in a doctor's office for 2 hours. We don't have to go and take drugs that says the side effects are worse than the drugs you're taking. This drug here may cause heart attacks. This may cause this. That. We don't have to do all that stuff, folks. It's God. He's God. He's God over all. He's God over all things. But He went on to tell the disciples, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And I want to address that. I don't see where Jesus prayed here. He prayed and rebuked the devil, but I don't see Him praying and fasting over this. When the man brought the child to Jesus, Jesus rebuked the devil and he was cured immediately, wasn't he? He told the disciples, "This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." I want to tell you what that means. I want to tell you what it means to me. It means that you and I must develop and have a lifestyle of prevailing prayer. A lifestyle of prevailing prayer that yields a reservoir, if you will, fills up and overflows with spiritual power for the hard, difficult things that you and I face in this life. You understand that? You and I must have a reservoir of power. And it is by having a lifestyle. When something comes up, you don't just start praying for your first prayer, folks. But you build up a prayer life. You've got power with God. You've got a reservoir here. You got something there that's going to sustain you and going to help you in your time of difficult, hard trouble. These kinds come about not but by prayer and fasting. It comes about by a people that's living close to God, folks. A people that has power with God. A people that can say to the devil, "Devil, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." We don't want to be like the seven sons of Sceva, do we? They thought, they saw the disciples do that and they thought, well, that's easy. And they went over there to a man that was a lunatic and they said, they rebuked the devil. And the devil said, "Who are you?" Folks, we don't underestimate the power of the enemy. God's loaned him some power. He said, "Who are you? I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know you." And he had them tearing their clothes off and running out of there, didn't he? God's got it for us. But you and I must put in for it individually, personally. It's called a lifestyle of being separate from the world, setting our affections on things above, not letting the world come into our heart and into our life and letting the power of God and the Spirit of God leaking out of our souls, because that's all the world is good for. It'll cause the Spirit of God to leak right out of our souls. While we have limitations, yes, we do. But God is not limited. And you and I need to see that. We need to see and believe that God is not limited. Oh, we're limited. Our time here on earth is limited. God lives in eternity. He's always lived in eternity. He always will. He's always existed. From what I understand, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Yes, our time's limited. The Bible says, Jesus says, we don't have the power to even count the hairs on your head. How many of you in here this afternoon try to count the number of hairs you got on your head? After you get to 100, if you get that far, you'll get so mixed up with the other hairs, you have to start over again. Now, some of us in here, it might not take so long. You don't even have the power to change your stature. We don't know how tall we're going to be, how short we're going to be. God takes care of all that. We're limited in those, and a lot of things that we're limited in with life. When we go out to feed 5,000 people, we're limited. Oh, Lord, all we got here is 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. That's enough. Jesus says that's enough. And He takes those and He blesses them, calls upon His Father, and it fed 5,000 plus women and children with leftovers. You see, we're limited. God is not limited. He can take a handful of meal and a cruse of oil for a little old widow when she made the cake for the prophet, and it lasted until the famine was over. Do you believe that? Sometimes we tend to forget. This little message this afternoon is intended to encourage you and inspire you to trust God. Don't look at it from man's point of view. Look at it from God's point of view. You and I may be able to come up here on a Sunday morning and put in 2 little mites in the offering box. 2 little pennies in our language. And maybe all we can give the Lord. But the Lord looks upon that and He saw she gave all she had and He blessed her. If we give the Lord all we got, folks, give Him your heart, give Him your life, give Him your love. Say, "Lord, it all belongs to You. If I didn't have You, I wouldn't have nothing." Yeah, we're limited. 2 little mites. I think we need to be believing who we're trusting in. More than just lip service. But we need some hearts believing in who we're trusting in. He said, if two or three that are assembled together in His name, He'd be there. Oh, we are so limited. There may just be two or three of us, but folks, we can have power to overcome the powers of hell if our faith would be strong. If we trust Him. I believe this. The Bible teaches this, folks. I believe what I'm telling you this afternoon. I tell you, I believe the devil is taking advantage of souls. He's taking advantage of situations, and he's taking advantage long enough. I don't care if it is 2016. God is still well able to supply our needs. He's well able. Paul made the statement, when I'm weak, you feel weak? I do. But he said, when I'm weak, He's strong. God's strong. Feel your weakness. See your weakness. Say, Lord, I realize I can't do anything without You. But with You and God, folks, You're a majority. You and God make up a majority. How about that? Oh, I just want to encourage us this afternoon, saints. Don't settle for half. Don't settle for the symptoms. Tell the Lord, Lord, I want You to go to the root of this thing. I want You to deal with the root. If in my spiritual life, if it's pride, Lord, deal with my pride. If it's my impatience, Lord, deal with my impatience. If I have anger issues, Lord, deal with my anger. If I have bitterness, Lord, deal with my bitterness. Because I want power with God. I want to trust You. I want to be able to see You in all of Your glory and all of Your power and know in my heart of hearts that You're well able to take care of me no matter what comes to me in my life. Folks, that little experience that I told about myself, that's not the only experience I've had. We've all been through some battles that's lived for the Lord a while. We've all been in some difficult places, but I want to tell you, He is still a miracle working God. He's still a miracle working God. Got a text this past week. Someone said, please pray. We need a miracle. I said, well, that's good. Because He's still a miracle working God. He's still well able, saints. I know there's hard places that come up in our life. I know, sir, there's some challenges that we face. I understand that. But what are you going to do? Are you going to trust God fully? You're going to leave it in His hands? I had a sister tell me not all that long ago, you know, Brother Larry, I put my children on the altar, but I made the mistake and went back to the altar and got them and picked them up. Leave them there. It's the best place you can bring your problems. It's to the altar. Altar's Christ. Give it to Him. Because we can't handle it. You can't handle it. This life, this world today, even those of us that are older and don't have jobs, this is a very stressful life. It's stress. It's full of stress. I'm experiencing some of it. It's full of stress. Stress affects your body. It affects your heart. It can affect you in a lot of different ways. Stress. What am I going to do with it? Am I going to carry it? Can't carry it, folks. This body wasn't meant to carry stress and it wasn't meant to carry sin. But we were meant to give it to the Lord. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And every time the enemy comes along and he does to us what he did Peter, and he has us looking on the waves and looking on the tossing waves and all the things around us, and we get our eyes off of God and we start leaning to our own understanding and we begin to sink. Is that right? Sure, that's what happens. That's what happens. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the problems, he began to sink. We ain't no different. No sense us running down, trying to run down poor old Peter. He's just human like you and I. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the goal. What's my goal? You know, my goal, I'd like to have good health. But my main goal is to go to heaven. That's where I want to keep my focus. And in order to do that, I got to keep the world out. As I told that young man one time at a youth roundup many years ago, he come down to the altar. I went to pray with him. He said, I want more of God. And I said, well, start emptying. Emptying? I said, yeah. Make some room for him. You want more of God in your heart? Make some room for him. He won't come in a crowded room and he won't crowd his way into the room. Be not overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life. That day come upon you unawares. Make room for him. He looked at me, opened his eyes, and he looked at me and said, boy, you're a wise man. I said, there ain't no great wisdom there, young man. You want more of something? You got to make room for it. Have we made room for Christ? Have we made room for him to come in fully and completely and have his way in everything? Every part of our life. Have we given it to him? He wants it. How many of us believe that he's not able to take care of it? Oh, he's well able, isn't he? Much more able than we are. Much more able than we are. Setting my mind and my affections on things above and not on the things of this world. I'll give you another scripture. Lord willing, we'll try it. Well, we won't be holding you much longer. But I want to read some encouraging scriptures in the 18th chapter of Psalms. David always has encouraging things to say. He was in distresses. He was in hard places too. We all go through those things. But I want you to be encouraged with what David had to say. In Psalms 18 and 28, I was reading this the other day and I thought, oh Lord, if I could just leave it there. Leave it there in your hands because you're capable. He's capable. He's well able. And he said what? Verse 28, 18 and 28, for thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He'll turn darkness into light, won't he? He'll do that for us. Has he ever done it for you? Sure he has. He's turned the darkness into light. He said here, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. Oh, don't you love that scripture? Where Caleb said, I once was young, and no, that's not the right one. Caleb said, now I'm 80 years old. He said, I'm 80 years old. He said, give me this mountain. I'm 80 years old. He said, I fought back there when I was in my 40s, but I'm 80 years old, and you give me this mountain, and I intend to conquer it by the help of God. Lord, give us these mountains. And what did Jesus say to do with the mountains? Speak to them. Speak to them. Oh, Lord, I don't know. This looks like the end. It looks like, oh, I don't know what's going on inside of me. I've had this issue and that issue, and it hurts so bad. Folks, I've had 3 heart attacks, and I know what chest pains are all about. I know all about those things. I know what I prayed and began to get ready and say, well, Lord, if this is it, I'm just looking to glory and those kind. I know about those things too, saints. But when God's done, we're done. But if He's not done, we need to ask Him for deliverance. We need to ask Him for victory, folks. I've run through a troop. By my God, I've leaped over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. My prayer for us this afternoon, Lord, teach us how to fight. Teach us how to fight. Don't let us be a mushy, weakling people that is willing to just give up and give in to anything the devil wants to bring along. You know, that's the way we could be portrayed if we're not careful. He teacheth my hands to war. Lord, help us to fight, as Paul said, the good fight of faith, that we may lay hold on eternal life. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation. Thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. Folks, if you know you got enemies, and I'm not talking about people, I'm talking about personal issues, personal things that you've been dealing with, maybe some for some time, get victory over them. Get the victory. The enemy must be consumed, folks. When the children of Israel got into the land of Canaan, and the different tribes were settling in their different places, you can read about it in the second chapter of Judges and onward from there. They went out and they fought these tribes. They fought these people, but they didn't drive them all out. And they left some of them. They left some of the enemies to stay right in there where they were living. And their children grew up and got involved with them, married them. Daughters, their daughters married these people's sons, and their sons married those folks' daughters. The next thing you know, the children of Israel was not at peace anymore. Because God said, drive them out. Drive all of your enemies out. He said, I pursued mine enemies, overtaken them, neither did I turn again until they were consumed. Consumed. You know, some people live with things haunting them. Some people have things haunting them all their life, their past. The enemy loves to bring up the past. He loves to tell us about our failures. And we all know that the enemy doesn't really want to do anything but discourage. He wants to bring doubt. Saints, unbelief is sin. If we have unbelief, we're not trusting. We cannot trust God the way God wants us to trust Him. We must believe. That man said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Mark 9 has that rendition. And that man told Jesus, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my humanity. Lord, I'm just human here. I want to believe so bad I can taste it. I want to trust You so bad I can taste it. Lord, help me to believe. Let me ask you a question. You ask yourself this question. When you pray for a lot of things. Do you ever ask the Lord for faith? Do you ever ask the Lord to help you to believe? Do you ever ask God to help you to see Him in a greater way? To see His glory, to see His power. I mean, ask Him. Any man need wisdom, let him ask of God. In faith, not wavering. Because any man that wavers is like the winds of the sea that rolls with the water and tosses and all those kind of things. But let him ask in faith. Are we asking God for the right things today? Are we asking God for things that will shore up our courage? shore up our faith, our trust? Are you asking Him? Say, well, the Lord knows I need that. Sure He does. Sure He does. Lord knows I love Him. Do you tell Him? Lord knows what we need, but we need to pray. We need to ask God to help us. Our faith be strong. Our faith is being challenged more and more today. You know, the medical profession has made it a lot easier for people to go in and have little things done with laser. Name nothing to it. Ain't nothing to it. You say, well, you know, nobody will ever know. A little bit of laser and it's all gone. It's all done. Folks, there's value in trusting God. This value is in the soul. It's for the soul, not the body. The value is in the soul for trusting God. That God can reveal Himself to you in a greater way. Greater understanding, greater power, greater glory in your life. May the Lord help every one of us this afternoon. Be strong in the grace that He has. Have faith in God. Trust Him. Believe Him. When He says something, accept it as being the truth. He said, I'm God and I cannot lie. So God's not going to lie to us. Accept it as being the truth. Accept it as being from God. I want to see us be stronger. I want to see us have power with God. You know, I'm not going to say that every time I lay hands on someone up here at this altar for prayer, that God's going to do what I ask, but I'm believing that He's going to do it. I believe that He's going to do it. I'm not going through the motions praying for you or praying for myself. I'm not doing that just to go through the motions. I believe that God is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I believe He is, folks. And I don't believe God has to stop at a half a loaf. I believe God can give us and wants to give us the whole loaf. May you be encouraged. You keep pressing. You keep fighting. You fight for what you want. The devil's fighting. He's fighting every one of us. We'll probably face him before the day's over or tomorrow. Before the week's out, for sure. He's fighting. I want to encourage you to fight. Fight for what you want. Fight for this great salvation that Jesus has so freely given you and I. Paid the great price that He paid for it. May we be encouraged this afternoon. Trust, believe, hope in the living God. Amen.